Välkommen till Freuds Toolbox, skolans inspirationspodd med fokus på känslor, relationer, lärande och ledarskap. Tillsammans med Kenneth Freud får du inspireras av och lära av nationellt och internationellt ledande experter på evidensbaserat lärande och ledarskap.
Hi everyone. Today we will talk about an important subject for all of us human beings actually, but today from a school perspective. And we will talk about feelings, emotions, and how that can have a place in education and connect that also to stress and stress reactions. That is also an important area in our schools. And what is better to talk about that then with an expert on all these areas, an expert on emotional intelligence and on stress management. And today's guest is also expert on in evidence-informed strategy called The Ruler, that we will probably talk a little bit more about. And because that, I have invited Laura Artusio, so very welcome to this podcast interview.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, everybody, for the opportunity. It's a pleasure to join your podcast.
Yeah. I have actually a number of areas that I would like to talk about, but I will give you the opportunity to sort of start on your own what you would like to sort of contribute to this area. And I will follow up on that.
Thank you. Well, as you mentioned, my work for the last 15 years was based on emotional intelligence, how to apply emotional intelligence in schools and in organizations to enhance safety, well-being, and also to help people to enhance their performance, both academic and in workplaces. And yes, my focus, even before doing research and intervention on emotional intelligence, was on stress, because I think it's a very important thing that now in several European countries, it's mandatory by law to assess work-related stress consequences and burnout. So this is a cutting edge, because not just the physical issues or risks are taken in consideration, but at the end also psychosocial risks are included by law. Because what happened when the first time I went at Yale University to learn by those who start the field of research on emotional intelligence how to apply these tools, I was told, you know, we don't have material or the resources to do even what is mandatory. How can we do workshops or intervention on emotional intelligence? And so I thought, you know, it should be mandatory, because it's not the only important thing, but it's one of the critical things that for safety and to do our job as teacher, to learn, we need to have those tools. So this is how I start to apply emotional intelligence in the field of safety in schools and in workplaces. And also thanks to this law. So starting from assessing work-related stress consequences, such as absenteeism, accidents. There are like objective data, but also listening people with the focus group. And we validated a questionnaire to assess work-related stress consequences. And so in this way, we have data. Every 2 years, we can collect this data, because by law, it's something that a school organization is supposed to do every 2 years. And in the meanwhile, we can apply intervention, included intervention on emotional intelligence. And I love this framework, first of all, because we have data. And as a research mindset, it's something so important. And sometimes you don't have the resources to assess. And so through this law, we have the chance in a sustainable way to have long-term goals approach. Because when I start to apply RULER approach, the RULER approach to social emotional learning that is authored by Professor Mark Brackett, Robin Stern, and David Caruso from Yale University, Italy was the second country after United States to apply this. And one of the issues that we had in Italy was the dropout, like schools maybe applied RULER 1 year, 2 years, then maybe the principal changed and they brought another project like yoga, mindfulness, and this is not the right way, according to me, and according research, like it's not the project of the year. It's a curriculum that you are integrated in the DNA of your school with the short, medium and long-term goals. So if math is important, you don't teach math just 1 year or two. No. And as well, the same thing should be with social emotional learning. So the frame of the safety in workplace help us to keep it alive, even if the principal change or other variables change. And so this is something that it's an old risk, I would say. Yeah. The stress, the burnout. We know that psychologists, healthcare professionals, but also teachers show more risks of burnout. And this is one of the old risks, I would say. And one of the why we should spread more social emotional learning, but also bullying or aggression or abuse of substances or anxiety or depression are all the risks that we know that can be coped with social emotional learning interventions that are evidence-based and show evidences and outcomes in this direction. But we also have new risks like cyberbullying, techno stress, the phobia, the school phobia after pandemic were higher and higher, and also the impact of pandemia, we still don't know completely how strong it was. So, and also artificial intelligence is something that is scaring people, at least here in Italy. I'm based in Florence. Pearl Lab is the laboratory that I serve as a coordinator, the Psychology, Emotions and Research Laboratory. And here in Italy, there is a big conversation about the role of artificial intelligence and the risk that it is going to eat several jobs. And this is actually true according to several studies, included an interesting study conducted by Microsoft itself. Like, I was very interested in reading that two skills that will help to handle this huge revolution of artificial intelligence are creativity and emotional intelligence. So again, it's not the only important skill to work on in schools, but it's one of the critical skills to handle emergency situation like it was pandemic or also big change like artificial intelligence. And I don't know, this is just an overview.
Yes, but interesting. Now we have motivated that we should work with emotional intelligence in schools, right? And one of the key things is, of course, emotions and feelings in that to work sort of with emotions in schools. What you said, one benefit, because you can get a job in the future, of course, that is a big benefit. But could you see sort of benefits to include it in the school curriculum and work with it like you do in the RULER approach? Benefits for the kids, for teachers or for students or both?
Absolutely. And this is why it became a personal and professional mission, is because applying RULER in Italian schools, not just primary school, also in high school we are working. So we don't need to think RULER as a curriculum just for primary school. But what was fascinating for me, in Italy we have a school system where for instance, in primary school, students remain with the same classmates and the same teachers for 5 years.
Okay. Yeah.
Since when they are six till when you are, they are 11, more or less. And when I have the chance to visit a RULER school, like in Verona or in Florence, where they are applying RULER since 10 years, yeah, I can see how students are expert. The vocabulary is rich, and the strategies that they practice every day, it really become part of their mindset. Of their
when you talk about the rich vocabulary, is that rich in general then, not just rich in sort of feeling words?
No, I was mentioning feeling words in this case, because we have a part of RULER, the L of RULER stands for labeling emotion. So we have activities and tools to enhance the emotional vocabulary. Yeah. And once a principal told me that he was impressed that a student 7 years old had a richer vocabulary that he had to describe his own emotions. And the interesting thing is that it's not a curriculum extra, like 2 hours per week of RULER approach. Doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. It's integrated in the curriculum. So you are teaching English and you can practice the vocabulary of emotions translating in English. So you are working on your curriculum, but also applying social emotional learning. And the fact that it's integrated, I think it's very powerful, because it's tough, at least for Italian schools. This is one of the issues that we have. They don't have time. So if you would ask them to add the curriculum, this would be very complicated. But
it's the same in Sweden as well. It's a lot of time stress on all school staff, I would say, and on the kids as well. But the school staff, they get more and more to do. So it would be really difficult to implement a new strategy if it feels like something extra.
Yeah.
Even if integrated, it will feel in the beginning like something extra when they learn something new and have to replace something else maybe, or integrate. Do you have ideas? Because you said in the beginning about how to make it sustainable, because I've talked to a lot of I'm a principal myself and talked to a lot of other principals, and they say it's often quite easy to sort of learn the mechanism in a new strategy, but then it's much more challenging to sort of implement it as a whole school strategy. And if they manage with that, it have a tendency to sort of the quality will get lower and lower. It comes in new stuff and they don't learn it the same way. And it's sort of, you need sort of ways that is, I think, challenging for most schools. Do you have ideas what has happened? Like in schools, you know, in Italy, that when it's in the system, so to speak, what have they done to make it successful? Do you have sort of any ideas around?
Well, in our experience, also because we had several issues, so this was I'm happy to share what was helpful for us. First of all, but also according to research, it's not just our Italian experience. Mm-hmm. We know that the principal involvement is one of the key item to have success.
Yeah.
If the principal is not on board, its stuff is not gonna really happen. And not just the principal, but also the people who work in the top, they have more decision. But not just teachers, could be also administrative. The idea is to work with the whole school community. But first of all, those who manage the schools should be really aware and motivated and really understanding, and also having a kind of political like letters, guidelines, letters to parents, something that should become a kind of identity of the school. Because sometimes it's just bottom up, like a small group of motivated teachers want to bring ruler. And it's wonderful. We work also with them, of course, but it really doesn't work in terms of long-term sustainability. So when we have the principal on board, and then from the top, there is like the blood system that circulate in all single cells of the body of the school, this works much, much better. And so we have to not just start in our experience, but we need to know that school, which is a unique school, not like another in the world. So you need to know that school, to analyze the context, and to prepare the school in order to have more chance to success with social emotional learning. And sometimes also professionals or researchers are just focused on applying the intervention.
Yeah.
Rather than assess and collecting data before the intervention, I think this part is critical to analyze and to prepare the school. Also to work on a mindset about emotions that can help, because for years, also for us, we did the same mistake. Maybe we start too early applying ruler. And then we realized that maybe if there was a mindset about emotions, maybe sarcasm, or it's not going to work. So one of the way I think which is useful to help with the right mindset is the book that our advisor colleague Mark Brackett, author of Ruler and of this book Permission to Feel, worked to close this gap, to help to think about emotions and to think about how it's important to have a mindset like a scientist, not a judge, let's say, about emotions. And this can help as one of the way to prepare the school to then apply the ruler approach to social emotional learning. Another way to make this sustainable is the train the trainer methodology, which is the one that also our colleague at the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence are facilitating. Here in Italy, I have to say, we still train directly all the teachers in the majority of cases, because in several cases, they are not that used to train the trainer. So they prefer, and we are a small country, and it's easier rather than United States to, we still have number of schools to handle, so it's possible, but as a future development, we should move to the train the trainer. Now in the world are more or less 5 million the students that are applying the ruler approach to social emotional learning in their schools, so it's a huge number, and this is possible thanks to train the trainer. So the school more independent, and through also technologies, because the ruler platform helps to keep it alive also after the training. So I would say help the school to be independent in move forward with their emotional intelligence, social emotional learning intervention. And also the idea that I shared before, like including this intervention in the safety initiatives of the school, I think can really help, because it's not that common. In our experience, the usually who apply social emotional learning is not that related with safety, but it's something that we are trying to facilitate, because also because there are more resources. Like sometimes the only workshops that it's mandatory is the one about safety in school. So sometimes could be not the fire management, but could be how to prevent burnout and stress for teachers and school workers. So this would help to make it mandatory, sustainable, so that everybody, not just the very motivated teachers that I mentioned before, receive at least workshop on the tools, so that every stakeholder of the school can share tools, a common language. And yes, every stakeholder should be involved. And also maybe in terms of resources, sometimes it's not a bad idea that also parents, teachers can contribute sometime to make it sustainable. There is not one way to do that. But I realized that when there is a small commitment, also from in terms of resources, everybody is more motivated to learn, to join, to attend, rather than from the top. It's a decision just from the top.
Yeah,
I don't know if this was...
Yes, it was a good answer. Could you just briefly, I mean, some of the listeners, they don't know what the rule is. I've interviewed a few people in a previous episode, talked a little bit about the ruler, but it could be good if you could sort of briefly explain what the, sort of the key mechanism was, the ruler, instead of just an acronym.
I mentioned the emotional intelligence as a concept, and this is the theory, not defining emotional intelligence as a set of skills that can be assessed and developed. And how we develop the skills is through social emotional learning programs such as RULER. RULER is an acronym, stands for the 5 skills of emotional intelligence, which is the first one is the skill to recognize emotions. So, are you skilled in recognize the clues from the facial expression, the posture, the tone of voice of your students in front of you, but also on yourself, recognizing emotions in yourself? For example, for a teacher, it's very important to recognize if students are motivated, interested, or maybe bored, not focused. And the second skill of RULER is understanding emotions. So emotions follow patterns. They have causes and consequences. So which is the cause of the anger that I see in my student? Sometimes there are evident causes, like another student stole his book. But sometimes you have to be good in understanding between the lines, because maybe this is not the real cause of that anger. So this skill is more cognitive, is about thinking about emotions, being good also in understanding how emotions impact our cognitive processes. So when you match, like maybe math requires lower energy, and maybe if you are proposing your classroom a creative activity, maybe it's more energy, like happy or inspired emotion is more effective. So you know how emotions match with your activity. The L stands for labeling emotions. So this is, we say, the pivot of emotional intelligence. It's very important. In general, people is not that skilled, like included adults. It's tough to describe our emotional states in a granular way, in a sophisticated way. Our vocabulary is very poor. I did this workshop in several countries, in Italy, of course, but United States, Spain, Saudi Arabia, Russia, and in several other, in every country, there is a word like, how are you feeling? Fine.
Bene. Yeah. In Sweden as well,
So to avoid the conversation, and with this key question, we work on the vocabulary. And in the United States, they say, if you can name, you can tame. And looking for the right word, you are looking inside yourself and increasing your awareness about what you are experiencing. The E stands for expressing. Everybody thinks to be very clear with this face, but sometimes it's not like that. And we don't send a message with our face coherent with our words. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we are not that aware about the how we are expressing our emotions according to our role, the context, or the belonging culture. And I remember in one school in Sardinia, I was visiting that school, and the students say, Teacher Mary, I would call her Mary, she's always angry with us. She's always like that. And the teacher was that surprised. And she say, no, not at all. Why you are saying that? I'm just that so focused listening to you that this is how I express to be concentrated. Mm-hmm. So this is about emotional intelligence. It's about making explicit something that sometimes is implicit, but create misunderstanding and maybe something bad consequences. So that teacher was showing anger, but she was not that aware.
No.
So this is about expressing emotions. And with the pandemic, we get more use to use webcam also during teachers. So it was a kind of feedback about our...
Yeah, I can see yourself, yeah.
And the last R of the RULER acronym is about regulating emotions, which is referred to strategies to emotionally prepare yourself before going to school, for instance, or to maintain your concentration or an emotion which match with the task that you are executing. Or maybe you want to enhance an emotion or reduce, let's say, anxiety before a test. So when we work on strategies, the goal is to remain open, welcoming our emotion, but knowing also effective strategies, evidence-based strategies to manage them effectively. Could be physical strategies like breathing techniques, exercises, or could be thought strategies like visualization, positive self-talk, or social strategies. So it's a very key skill of emotional intelligence, and we do a lot of work on this. So these five skills define the RULER model and are the base of the RULER approach, which is a curriculum evidence-based, recognized by CASEL, which is the Collaborative Academic for Social Emotional Learning, which is the international institution which identify evidence-based social emotional learning programs. And it's integrated in the curriculum, as we were mentioning before. So it's not an extra activity, but is integrated in every music, math, whatever is your curriculum is integrated, and works both to empower the teaching technique, the teaching results, the learning. Because we know by research that if you don't create the connection between a concept and the personal experience of the students, if you don't generate emotions, it's tough to remember that concept. Yeah. So it's not just about managing conflicts or managing anger or anxiety. It's also about empowering learning, the learning process and academic results.
Yeah, I recognize it's sort of so connected to the science of learning or neuroscience as well, how you sort of transfer from the working memory to the long-term memory and make it retrievable.
Absolutely.
Now, this is your area, but I read, isn't it also so that if something is emotionally charged, connected, you tend to remember it both more exact and more and longer?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As well as being aware of the emotional states. So the RULER approach has four key tools. We start with the charter of the classroom and then the school to declare how we want to feel in that single classroom. So students commit is in a sanction of responsibility. So how the which are the five key emotions that we want to have more often, more frequently, and what can we do to keep them? So action, and then the students sign and the teachers sign the charter. So everybody is responsible, and this is very powerful because we work on the emotional climate.
Yeah.
And once I saw in a classroom there was a charter hanging the wall. Everybody signed the charter. One student during my visit was provoking another student.
Yeah.
And the girl told him, you also sign our charter, you know, you are not respecting our charter. I think, Kenneth, it's more so powerful when it's not the teacher who come and say, you shouldn't do that, but it's your peer who
says,
you sign the charter as I do, and you are not respecting this.
Yeah.
I think this was a lesson about how powerful that the tool is. The second tool is the mood meter, and there is also a very good app, how we feel up about this tool, and is our diagram with the colors. You may know it's very popular now, and help the individuals and the classroom to be aware of their emotional states, but also of others. And students and teachers plot themselves in some cases 3 times per day, or when they change curriculum, depends, but we try to integrate this in the daily routine.
Yeah.
And this is the tool that they love most usually. The third is the meta moment. So we work on how to manage more critical emotions such as anger and anxiety. So we have a specific tool for these challenging emotions. And the last one is Blueprint. And it's a tool to prevent and manage effectively conflicts. And every time I go in a school, it's a kind of inspiration for myself too, motivate me, myself in the tough moments. Because when I see students having a weekly moment to cope with conflicts of the classroom, this is something that we don't do as adults neither. And sometimes conflicts of 3 years before still impact our relationship nowadays. And so think that research gave us evidence-based effective tools. It's very important for us to give younger so that they don't do our mistakes. And can do maybe other mistakes, but they can try to learn how to handle a conflict in an effective way, for instance, better than we can do as adults. And I think it's very important to work in prevention, because we still work too much as a reaction after bad things happen. This is the classical approach. I do believe in prevention. So yeah. $1 invested in prevention is like $1,000 in intervention post.
Yeah, true.
And, I think this is the mindset we should facilitate.
Yeah. What's your experience? And when I talk to Mark Brackett, he recommends that you should sort of work with your staff like a year before you start with the students. And another school that were quite experienced that I visited and have some collaboration with, they recommend to start a bit earlier with sort of staff teachers that were really safe, that they feel strong in how they apply it and they wanted to try out. So they recommended, they started at their school after like a semester or 3-4 months, and then they, but maybe what is the, I understand that it's difficult sort of to teach how to manage emotions if you can't manage your own. So of course it's quite natural sort of to train what you should then teach. But do you also think that
could it vary, or is it a good sort of recommendation to take enough time? In my reflection, it could be that if some teachers start on their own, they maybe will do it in a different way. We maybe sort of lose quality in the whole school approach, maybe. Just reflecting, I don't know at all.
It's a very good question. And for us, it's a big difference. If we are doing research, we need to be more rigid in terms of methodology.
Yeah.
If you're not doing research, can be much more flexible, I would say. And I think Mark gave a good suggestion, also according to our experience, because it's better slowly, but deep.
Baby steps,
sometimes people want to rush, more, next, and they are not really going deep in the process. There is no a standard. It's not standard. The fact that it's evidence-based doesn't mean that it's standard. Absolutely not. It's good to personalize the methodology to the single school. That's the reason why I was suggesting to analyze and prepare the school before, because to respect the fact that it's a unique, a diverse school. But at the same time, so there is not a single way to move forward. Mm. I think it's a good idea to start with individual and teachers intervention before going to the classroom and make sure that they really understood, went deeper.
Yeah.
And some schools want to move faster. Others needs to be slow. Maybe sometimes included the four tools that I mentioned before. In some cases, they want to do the four tools in 1 year.
Yeah.
Sometimes we split. We start with the charter and the mood meter.
Yeah.
The first year and the other two schools, the second year.
Yeah.
Sure, the first part, it's critical in order to prevent dropout and to keep fidelity, quality. When we do research, those are items that we try to keep in consideration, because once that you thought mood meter, then you should verify a little bit how they are, the quality and the fidelity. This is very important. Maybe should be more in consideration, I think.
Yeah. Another question in the same area. I mean, when you learn a new strategy, you need sort of first to learn to apply the manual perfectly. And after some time, most schools, they will have to sort of make it their own, sort of adjust to other strategies and to their conditions. Do you have experience how long time it usually takes? An experienced school I talked to, they took them 3 years before they could say it was sort of part, they made it their own. Now it is their own and they adapt it every year, but it took them 3 years of practicing. Well, do you have sort of any experiences of the length? How much time do you need before you sort of can start to, you understand the mechanism so good that you could sort of adapt it, make it more our tool?
I would say yes. 3 years can be a good length of time for the school to be independent.
Yeah.
Then there is, for instance, the Ruler Implementation Conference, which help to keep it alive, to be updated, to share experiences, ideas, tools. There is the platform, the Ruler platform, which will help to find resources and materials. So, but in 3 years, you can really work on the base of the program. And it's very important, I think, to value the contribute of all the stakeholders of the school community.
Yeah.
So if you're learning a new strategy, like yoga, and you maybe discover that one of the teachers is a very expert or maybe yoga teacher in his free time, you should value that contribute in order to differentiate, so there is not one or two teachers who just are in charge, but everybody is committed and can be a contribute to bring new also strategies. The only recommendation is that evidence-based.
Yeah.
Because At least I see in the Italian bookstore, there are so many books that speak about emotions. It's a kind of fashion.
Yeah,
But
true.
sometimes I read things that are like exactly the opposite of what research suggests. And it makes me feel angry and concerned because of ethics. It's a very delicate topic, and the risk to banalize this topic is so high that it's good to bring new strategies, but please be prudent and try to be more evidence-based to find a reliable resource or person who can teach whatever, because also just jogging, you can hurt yourself.
Yeah, true.
So we just to make sure that better, but high quality, I would say.
Thank you. Good advice. Now my last question, actually. If you imagine that you would take a break from what you're doing right now and you would be the new principal of a school. It's a brand new school. You can do whatever you like to with the school. What would you have some sort of profile on your school, and what would you focus at? What from your perspective, what would be the most important for a successful school? Success is how you measure success, not how any other. It's totally up to you.
Thank you. That's an interesting question. You know, emotional intelligence concept is grounded in a functional role of emotion perspective. In Howard Gardner, the father of the multiple intelligences concept, defined eight kind of intelligence, like musical intelligence, body, logical math, language, but also intrapersonal and interpersonal. And this is those two last intelligences where emotional intelligence is grounded. So I think in Occident, the idea of success is very close to the STEM, the math. So those who success in language and math are considered successful people. I think this is a bias. It's a big bias because the limits that you can have in math maybe help you to orienting your decision because maybe you are a musician or a wonderful soccer player.
True.
So we shouldn't consider a limit like you are not a good in math or language, so you are not that smart. But this is still the mindset. So in my ideal school, I would see all the multiple intelligences valued, like you have math, you have language, you have try to find your like a big feedback about your skills and your limits so that you can find your own path and how you can give the contribute and do your project of life. But so I see emotional intelligence, which is part of the multiple intelligence, let's say, absolutely part of the school, as in the DNA. So in our vision, like Bill Gates once say, I imagine a computer in each desk. I would say our dream as a Pearl Lab, as a team, is to see emotional intelligence in every single school for the school of tomorrow and of today, because it's very important and could be realistic if we do podcasts like yours, we do interventions and we try to enhance this sensibility. So thank you also for your contribute, Kenneth. I know that you are very passionate and very motivated in this culture spread.
Yeah, and that was perfect closing words. Thank you so much, Laura. You have really contributed, and I think all the listeners will enjoy and learn a lot and reflect a lot by listening to you. Thank
Thank you,
you.
Kenneth, and goodbye, everybody, and thank you for the opportunity again.